God is good. Man, what an awesome, awesome atmosphere they've set. Children say how much I appreciate this house, how much I appreciate Pastor Lisa and the house family. Why don't you give them a round of applause and all of the people that make this camp possible. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to say how pleased I am to have my wife with me tonight. Miss Dr. Hopper, if she would wave at us back there. Our friend Lauren is just beside her. Hello, Lauren. We love Lauren. She's our friend. And then, of course, I think we had, how many kids did we bring this time? About 16 kids with us. How many of them are first-timers? Amen. First-timers, raise your hand. Nine of them are first-timers. Some of these first-timers over here, but nine of mine are first-timers. Well, it's good to be in the house of God. Listen, I believe that God wants to pour out His Spirit on a generation. And that's no secret, of course. He's always wanted to do that. But I believe that there is a special anointing, a gifting that God, an anointing that He's pouring out on this generation, partly because I believe He has to reach a generation, and in order to do that, there's going to have to be an anointing upon them. In fact, I was thinking today, just kind of meditating on some things. God doesn't always build the way you think He builds. You know, the scripture says that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But how does God build? Well, God doesn't always just build a thing. He first births a thing. In other words, I heard Sister Howes telling the young people today in the Bible study, this thing was birthed. It was something that was birthed in the heart of a man. And the reason we're sitting here tonight is because God birthed a thing before He built a thing. And so it's okay. Sometimes in the birthing stages, it's difficult. Sometimes in the birthing stages, you know, it's you hit some rough spots. Say amen. But it's okay, you know. One of the things that I'm intent on in this hour is I believe that we've taught our young people that we should fall in love with the God of the promise. And I'm all about the God of the promise. But I think we've fallen in love with the God of the promise. We've fallen in love with the God of the prophecy. We've fallen in love with the God of the purpose. We've taught purpose till we can't teach purpose anymore. But if somehow, some way, you don't fall in love with the God of the process, because to get from where you are to where you're going, amen, I believe in a finished work, but let me let you understand this. He said, he has began a good work in you, and He will complete it. Then He went over in Colossians and said that, you know, we are complete in Him who is the head. The difference is complete in Him and complete in you. And so God, you know, it's like, can I say it a way you might understand it? God will say, back that thing up, girl. God will say, back that thing up. He'll finish a thing and then say, back that thing up. In other words, we understand that faith is a part of the process whereby God will show us something. He'll birth something. We'll see something in the Spirit. God will do something, and then He'll take us back over here, and then we'll begin to walk this thing out, because we walk by faith and not by sight. And there's going to be some days, oh my gosh, there's going to be some days. I've had plenty of days where I understood that my sight realm was an enemy to everything that God was showing me. What I was seeing didn't line up with everything I was feeling. What I was, you know, so I had two or three things. Man, there's so many things I wanted to talk to you and tell you, wanted to preach to you. I told you last time I was here that I love to preach a sermon that God gave me a number of years ago, and it's called 10 Truths from the Old West That Will Change Your Life. And so, but rather than do that tonight, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to just stay in the vein where they were and talk to you about Abba Father and talk to you about the Holy Spirit, because I know there's some young people, maybe some adults here, you've never really had an experience with Holy Ghost. And so everything for me, September 23rd, 1985, I had been taken to the Baptist church when I was a kid, and my grandmother took us to the Baptist church when we were little. And somewhere along the journey, you know, I lost my way, and I finally surrendered September 23rd of 1985. And that night, a gentleman in the congregation whom I knew quite well, he lived behind me, he came up to me, an older gentleman, and he said, son, do you want everything that God has for you? well, you just say yes. Well, heck yeah. Yeah, I want everything, God. He said, then you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so my world literally changed. But since that time, I've been on a journey. One of the things that is an enemy is we quit learning. We think we know. You know, we stop learning along the way. We've been in church long enough. So I've kind of been on a journey over the last few months and over the last couple of years just to relearn this thing, to teach myself again the foundational principles of the Scripture and to go back and search again, because in my denomination that we came out of, you know, they just told you, hey, man, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have it. And the initial evidence of the Spirit is, speaking in other tongues. And the reality is the initial evidence maybe should be that we become a witness. But the deal is this, is that it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, for you to do everything God has called you to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what I've been teaching and what I've been saying to people is there's some things, if you look and you search in the Scriptures, God begins to show us things, and you'll see some things differently. And so what I'll do tonight is I'll just take a few minutes of your time, and we'll talk a little bit about Holy Spirit from a couple of aspects. And that is this. There's a few things that I know, and that is this. What God is raising up is sons and daughters. And Romans chapter 8 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. That is indeed, without a doubt, that is the most important thing I could say to you tonight in terms of us just being led by the Spirit. Listen, there's a lot of things that come our way, but we need to be, the word there, the Greek word, most people don't know that, they think to be led by the Spirit. It's two things. Sometimes you lean into you ever heard anybody say, lean into the things of God? There's sometimes you lean into a thing, and there's sometimes God pulls you in. There's two things that happen. Sometimes God just lassos you. The word there, the Greek word there, for as many as are led, is the word, I believe, if I'm coming from memory, is the word ago, A-G-O. And the word really means it's like God puts a rope around you. It's the same word that he would use as if he said he put a rope around your neck, like we used to put on a horse back in the day when Benjamin and them was little. We had horses, and we led them with a lead rope. And if you ever had a horse that you couldn't catch, you had to take some feed out to get him. So God has brought you here. He's put some feed in front of you, and he's about to put a lead rope around you. And the truth of the matter is, the word really means this. Not only does he lead you with a rope, but it also means he becomes like a tour guide. Where does the adventure come in? When you just sit back and let the tour guide do what the tour guide does. So you got to, this thing really is an adventure. It's a great adventure. About 20 years ago, Stephen Curtis Chapman said he wrote a song called The Great Adventure. And a lot of his lyrics came back to me today when I was thinking about that. Some of us, adults and young people as well, we have caused and allowed, through the things of life, we've allowed our sense of adventure. We've put that bad boy up on a shelf, and it's collecting dust somewhere. And all I'm asking you to do tonight is to open yourself up to the possibility of all that God wants to do and blow the dust off of your sense of adventure once again. Begin to look at things. I've challenged our church in the last few months. Look at things with beginner's eyes, with new eyes. Look at it like the person, I'll tell you where I got that from. That's not a concept I got from the church. That's a concept I got from Apple. I was watching a TED Talk. Any of you kids watch TED Talks? Yeah, but okay. I was watching a TED Talk, and the guy said that Steve Jobs, he encouraged them all the time. He said, look at this or any product that we have with beginner's eyes. As if you were the 60-year-old picking up an iPhone for the first time. But we don't do that in the church. We lose our beginner's eyes. Amen. We lose our beginner's eyes because church begins to be what it always was, and we come in and we wonder why it's mundane. Listen, take what you know and put it on somebody else. Take what the reason relationships and discipleship is so important is because we've got to take what God has deposited in us and put it on somebody else. Here's what I'm convinced. God is going to, if you will empty yourself, God will fill you, and then he's going to open you up and pour you out on the world. He's going to begin to pour you out on a generation. He's going to begin, and that's where your gift comes in. So God's going to lead you by the Spirit. But then we wonder, what do we mean when we're talking about the Spirit? Is this some, you know, most of you have been in, how many of you have been in Pentecostal charismatic circles your whole life? Long as you can remember. So some of this stuff, you know, and some of you know, you've never experienced this. But it's not spooky. It's not, you know, it's not strange. I was thinking the other day, and the scripture says this. The scripture says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll lead you into all truth. I used to think that meant he was going to lead us into all Bible truth. But then he began to open up my eyes and let me see some truths about me that I didn't want to see. Well, glory. Somebody help me. He began to show me some truth that I didn't want to see. He began to show me truth I did want to see. But so when we talk about when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll lead us into all truth. Well, he will. He'll lead you into truth. And he'll begin to open your eyes. You'll look in the mirror and you'll begin to see the truth about who you really are in Christ. He'll begin to show you the truth about who you are in Christ. He'll begin to show you things that he wants to deal with you about. He'll begin. This is a relationship with God. This is how this thing works. This is how the kingdom functions. And it's simple. If you want to make it simple, it's as complex as you want to make it. You know, the same God that made the deepest ocean made the shallow shore. You can stay, listen, you can stay in shallow water all you want, but it's time for us to launch out into the deep. It's time for us to go in over our head. It's time for us to get on. You know, the one thing I want God to do for me is I want God to absolutely destroy that thing of limitation. Anything that I've, any personal limitation that I put on myself, God, destroy it. You want to break every chain? Break the chain of limitation that I placed on myself. Let me see things. I promise you, you say, well, man, that's just crazy thinking, Brother Neil. Listen, he just wants to blow your mind. He wants to open you up and pour himself in and absolutely blow your mind and take you to places that you have never been before. But you're going to have to blow off that sense of adventure and look with new eyes again at what God wants to do. And you're going to have to say once again, I really believe I need to take another look at this thing. Because sometimes when you take a different look or another look, you begin to look at a thing once again and reconnect with something and allow God to do something fresh again. It really has more to do with you than it does with anything else. With you saying, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I'm not satisfied. So we look at several scriptures. So the first one is, and here's another one that we need, and I can go by notes and we can look at all this, but just walk with me for a minute through some things that God's led me through. And one of those things is that the Bible says, I love that Abba song just a minute ago, by the way, but the Bible says, he said, Jesus is about to go away, and he says, I'm not going to leave you. You know, he said he's going to send us a comforter. And by, if you were to do a Greek study on the word comforter, when he said, I'm going to send you a comforter, he really did not say he's going to send you something to say, oh, baby, it's okay. You poor thing, you. No. If you were to take the Greek study and root that thing back, it really said he's going to send you something to make you brave. It's truth. It's what he said. He said, I'm going to make you brave. The truth is, there's more in you than you think is in you. Yeah. You can do more than you think you can do. There's more in you. So he said two things, and people think they're the same word. But if you were to do your study and understand your Bible, the first one is he said he's going to send you a comforter. But it means one to come alongside. It means what we would call a paraclete or a parakletos. It's a legal advocate. I was telling somebody the other day, I have an attorney. He's $650 an hour. He's my FCC attorney. And so when I need help, I understand FCC law. I've been doing radio for 28 years. I probably understand the law. But when I need legal counsel, I'll call that attorney and talk to him. He's supposed to be the best in the business. I have another FCC attorney. She's only $300 an hour. She gets the easy stuff. Amen. But we have, and I always wondered this. This is something for you Bible scholars. This would be good. Have you ever thought about how many legal terms are in the New Testament? Even though we're not legalists, amen. But there is, why would God send us something? I'm going to teach you something. Just stay with me here. Why would God send you the Holy Spirit and call that Holy Spirit a counselor? Like, you understand, I got in an argument with a lawyer one time. It was another FCC attorney, and he was not such a good guy. And so I had to tell my lawyer, I might have said something. I said, you need to, from now on, please don't call my cell phone anymore. I said, you need to address my counselor. I have counsel. I have an attorney. I have an advocate. I have somebody who argues my case. Why would God do that? Why would God give you something that's called to be by your side? But he's not just called to be by your side. He's called to be by your side. Here's why. Because there has been something that was a legal judgment against hell and everything else that was against you. The cross was God justifying. I am justified by the cross of Calvary. And there were some things that were purchased there that was legally yours. But if somehow Holy Spirit doesn't come and counsel you on what's already yours in Christ. Oh, I'm saying something. You just ain't helping me much. Hallelujah. There's a reason he gave us a counselor. And yes, he can counsel you in tough situations. Yes, Holy Ghost can come and give you something. I mean, he can speak a word to you in a moment's time that can change everything. That's what Holy Spirit does. That's a real relationship with God. That's what having a relationship with the Lord is all about, where he can be called to your side. I always say this, it really does me no good to know that God's by my side. If I just come out and I'm in the fight of my life and I say, well, you know, I know that God's by my side. Yeah, but if he ain't doing nothing, he's like your best friend. He's like going out on a night and you get in a street fight and your best buddy's beside you and he says, hey, I know he's there, but he ain't helping me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dude, what's up with that? You ain't got my back, you know. But what happens is Holy Spirit comes, and man, this will bust something wide. I mean, he can give you a word just like that. Amen? Just like that, Holy Spirit can change. One word, one thought can change everything. One shift. God can begin to show you something and shift everything in one moment. And how does that come? That comes when Holy Spirit begins to counsel you or give you something that you wouldn't even think, it don't even fit for the day, and you say, I don't know why God gave me this, but he's going to show me this. That's what I'm talking about. So there is the, he said, I'm gonna send the comforter, okay? But then he said this. There's another word in there, and he said this. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. That's a different word. That's the word orphanos. It means I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. That's the reason I can sing, Abba, I belong to you. See, I'm not an orphan. So anytime you understand, so many insecurities come from that lack of relationship. Insecurities, I recently was I preached a few Sundays ago at the church, and I preached out of a great theological movie called Beauty and the Beast. And I know Dr. Lynn's done that. It's a great, but here's what I preached. And I said, man, this is so good. There's a part in the movie where Belle and the Beast are talking. And he says, I love this. He says, every time I enter the room, the laughter stops. And she says, me too. Me too. You know what? It's because this is what I was saying to the people. I was saying, we all have insecurities. Me too. Man, you don't understand. You may not even understand what I faced over the last 3 years. We all have insecurities. We all deal with stuff. We all deal with things that come our way. And so to sit up in here and pretend like it's not me too, man, me too. Dude, anxiety, me too. Stress, me too. Now, I ain't going to stay there. I ain't going to live there, but I deal with stuff just like, if I don't have the power of the Holy Ghost to cause me to be an overcomer, if I don't understand this legal thing that I have where the Holy Spirit comes, because here's the deal. There's some things that God has for us that we have not laid hold of yet. I promise you, there's some things. The reason I've been telling our people, the reason God calls us to not only just press forward, that's not exactly what he said. He said there was a high calling. It's pressing upward. Now, we've heard for years and years there's an upward call in Christ. God is calling us to continue to press our way into heavenly things, to walk in a different realm of spirit. So God is calling us by his spirit. And if you can hear him, you can walk in a deeper realm. You can walk in deeper things. There's something more that God has for you. And it's so real and it's so genuine. So he said, He said, as many as are led by the Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit, there's a tour guide ready for. In the South, if you was to go to our great state of Georgia, and you was to go down to somebody like, you ever been to Savannah, Georgia? Most beautiful city in the South. This is what they say. They'll say, the tour is going to begin in just a minute. There's a tour guide waiting on you right now in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost wants to be a tour guide because he's literally just going to take you places and help you fill up spaces that are empty. But it really is understanding this is a great adventure. I've fallen in love with the God of the process. I know about the God of the promise. I know about the God of the prophecy. I know about, but listen, right now where I'm living is, I've fallen in love with the God of the process. I'm just, man, I just, listen, I'm just enjoying my journey. Because there's been too many days that I thought, man, if I could get over there, I'd walk in joy. If I could get right wherever God, so what happens is you see something in your spirit or you think, man, this is what I want to do. And if I can just get here, and we frame a thing and stick it on the wall and say, if I can get there, I'm going to walk in joy. If I can get there, man, it's going to be awesome. And you forget how awesome he is right now, right where you're sitting. You forget to fall in love with the God of the process. So Holy Spirit wants to do a thing. He wants to comfort you. I'm not saying the Holy Ghost won't comfort you. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit, well, he will. He'll come and comfort you. Man, I thank God for Holy Ghost. I'm even too dumb to pray without the Holy Ghost. That's in the Bible. You do know that, don't you? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I ought to know, but I don't know. I'm still struggling with the concept. I ought to know, but I don't know. So since I don't know, amen, I just pray in the Holy Ghost. I still believe it's the perfect prayer. I still believe, listen, I still shanda every day. I still pray in the Holy Ghost every day. And I'd encourage you to do the same. And it's not just about praying in the Spirit. It's about a relationship. It's about things that are unlocked. Listen, I know this is going to sound, there are times I ride down the road and pray in the Holy Ghost and prophesy over myself. Listen, some of you prophets in here, if I can't get you to prophesy over me, I'll prophesy over myself. I'll prophesy over myself. You say, can you do that? I sure do. Yes, I can. It ain't against the law. My attorney said it ain't against the law. My legal counsel said, amen, there's a gift, and my legal counsel said, well, of course you can prophesy over yourself. If the Holy Ghost and the gift of prophecy is working in you, I can prophesy over you or me. Some days I just need to prophesy over myself. Amen? You don't prophesy over yourself. You preachers don't prophesy over yourself. Prophesy over yourself, man. Amen. Prophesy over yourself. Turn with me, and I'll just go a couple of minutes, and I'll show you a couple things, and then I'm going to challenge you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, don't be afraid. I had a buddy of mine. The people that started the radio station that I work at, one of my best friends is Howard Tootin, sings at the church. Howard's mom was like one of those old-time, like, get-crazy Pentecostals. Y'all know the kind, you know, she don't care where she's at. She'll, like, bust out in tongues and go to prophesying and laying people out. You know, old-time, like, Holy Ghost. And he said, man, I never wanted to get the Holy Spirit because I thought he was going to make me act like my mama. He said, man, I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want that, man. Here's the good news. All Holy Ghost is going to do is allow you to see the authentic you. I'm not trying to be anything other than what I've been lately. I ain't trying to do anything other than what I've been lately. Yeah. I just want to be who God made me to be. I just want to walk in that place that God has for me, and there's a place for all of you. But there's going to be some pitfalls and some potholes along the way. And somehow, if you don't have a relationship that's deeper than surface level, if you don't have something that will cause you to rise up and walk in a thing, you know, what I always tell the kids is learn how to live out of spirit and not out of your flesh. You can't live this spiritual life and do it in your flesh, right? Nobody in their flesh has ever pleased God, according to Romans chapter 8. For they that are in the flesh can't please God. But look at Romans 8 for me, and I'll show you what I think God's going to do for us. Romans chapter 8, I'll go down and I'm going to back that thing up, girl. Romans chapter 8, let's go to verse 30. Let's go to, what kind of time? We good on time, Miss Lisa? We're good. Hallelujah, we're good, man. We're here till Friday. Praise God. I can preach, man. I got my preach on. Amen, amen. I love this, man. I love the Word. That's another thing, too. Fall in love with the Bible, man. If you fall in love with the God that's not the God of the Bible, I'm afraid where you might go. Fall in love with the God of the Bible, the God of time, space, and history. Amen. The God of the Bible. So Romans chapter 8 says this. Let's go down and let's look at, let's go to verse 31. Because I love this, because people will quote this scripture and say things and they don't even know like what they're really talking about. Don't you love that when people like use the scriptures and they don't even know where it came from or what it really means, but they're going to throw it out there at you. So the Bible says this in Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? Let me first say that it's okay for you to say something to some things. Not to some people, but to some things. Open your mouth and say something. What shall we say, hallelujah, to these things? Oh, you ought to talk. You ought to open your mouth and say some things. You ought to declare some things. Amen. It's okay for you to begin to speak a thing and declare a thing. Open your mouth and say something in Jesus' name. As the old preachers used to say, let's break the silence of the lambs. Tell me about the lambs, Clarice. Tell me about the lambs, Clarice. Quid pro quo. Quid pro quo, Clarice. Tell me about the lambs. I can tell you about the lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, he says this. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a question. We'll say that out there, if God be for us. But I want you to back this thing up, and I want you to look back with me, because here's where I'm living. Let's go back to verse 28 says this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. We know this verse. We still believe that all things work together for good. That's first and foremost, of course. But just come on down with me where he said, for whom he did foreknow, here's the word I'm looking for, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, same word, them he also called, and whom he called he justified, and whom he justified he glorified. What shall we say to these things? Here's where I'm living. I believe in destiny. I believe in destiny so strong. I believe the sound of your future is getting louder than the sound of your past. I believe destiny is calling you. I believe something is pulling you. There are times you lean in and there are times God pulls you. And sometimes if he wants to create some synergy, he'll cause there to be a thing where he's pulling one way and you're leaning in. And when you lean in and he pulls you in, you go higher in the spirit. But whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. That's the destiny I believe God is calling us to. We want to talk about destiny all the time. I mean, we can talk about legacy. We can talk about destiny. We can talk about prophetic promise. We can talk about all those things. But what is our destiny? Honey, your destiny is that you are being conformed to the image of the Son. He's changing your image. And so what I've been telling our church is this, is I said, I took my destiny and I framed it up here, and there's my destiny, and anything that don't look like that, I said, that can't be God. I said, that must not be God. But let me show you what happens with that, and this is where the danger comes in. More people over 50 years old right now are getting divorced than ever in the history of this country, I'm told. More people over 50. I know it's been a 50-50 thing for others, but I'm talking about people who've spent their whole life together. And here's what happens if you're not careful. If you're not careful, here's what'll happen. You'll say, this don't look like what I thought my destiny. I'm not talking about the way she looks. I'm not talking about how she looks. I'm talking about this marriage, this thing I'm in, this ministry, this business. It don't look like what I thought it was going to look like. And somehow we just say, hey, if it don't look like, I'm out of here, man. I'm just out of here. And we don't understand that all along the process, whether you're going to college and you're saying, I don't know why I've drawn this picture. I framed this up. This is where I was going. And God said, I'm not taking you there. He said, but what I am doing is, as I'm causing you to be formed and created in my image, I'm causing there to be something done. He said, you are predestined. My predestination is to be conformed to the image of the Son. What am I saying? Your predestination is that you're going to look just like he looks. Is that you, when you look in the mirror, you can see him. That's called him taking you from glory to glory. Sometimes the greatest destination isn't 11 and a half hours from Georgia, it's the two. Sometimes it's him taking you from glory to glory. That's sometimes, man, that's a long way. And there may be some dark nights of the soul in between one glory to another glory. There may be some hell in between one glory to another glory. But I'm telling you, God is taking us to another level of glory. He's always just drawing us to himself. He's always said, this is my purpose, that you will be conformed to the image of the Son. What shall we say to these things then? If God is for me, who can be against me? What is he talking about? He's asking a question. If God is for you, how's God for you? He's for you because he said, I've got my hand on you. And my real goal for your life is, you do understand that your journey into God is his journey into you. Your journey into God is his journey into you. And he's always showing us new things and molding us and making us and shaping us and breaking us into what he wants us to be. And every time I look at this picture over here and say, God, this ain't what I thought. I'm 51 and this ain't, I mean, I was thinking Corvette, Learjet, and a house by the lake. Amen. I mean, any of you over 50 folks ever thought, man, this ain't all I was thinking quite differently. Man, I was thinking, I'm headed for retirement here. I'm thinking Corvette, Learjet, house by the lake, whatever. I'm thinking 55 at the max, I'm retiring. I got two kids in college, I ain't ever retiring. I got two kids in private college, I ain't ever retiring. Me and Mama be working all we can. We're taking up an offering tonight to feed starving kids. That'd be Christian and Benjamin. Amen. We're trying to feed starving parents. Amen. Yeah. No, God has been good to us, and we're not starving. We've been very, very blessed. But what we did is I began to understand sometimes you just need to relax and breathe a minute and fall in love with the God of the process. And people don't like to hear that sometime. They think somehow you're not preaching finished work or whatever. Listen, I just get up every day and let Jesus be Jesus. Let God be God, and I just try to just walk and do what he wants me to do and be the man of God. I think he's way more interested in me becoming who he wants me to be than where I'm going. Listen, if you'll be more interested in what he's doing in you and what he wants to do through you than where you're going, because sometimes we get so destiny-minded. We're talking destiny. I've got a friend of mine. He's been hollering. He thinks one day his boat's just going to come rolling in. I said, brother, you may have to jump off the dock and swim to that thing. You know, at your age, you may have to jump off the dock and swim to it. I'm not saying God won't bless you. I'm just saying it don't always happen the way you think it's going to happen. It don't always come the way you think it's going to come. And somehow you've got to let God be God in the places and in the spaces, amen, that you didn't think it was going to be this way. I didn't think it was going to look like that, but I'm okay with that. And sometimes when you take a deep breath and you're just okay with that and you just say, God, you just make me, I still want to be conformed to the image of the Son. I want you to continue. I want his fingerprints to be all over me. I want God to keep doing. I'm still in love with Jesus. Man, I'm still excited. 28 years in ministry, and I'm still excited about what the Lord's doing in my life. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying this. I'm saying there's a tour guide that wants to take you to places and spaces. It's like, man, if you've never seen an adventure, blow off your sense of adventure. Some of you adults and you young people, at your age, you've already had a few disappointments and decided, maybe this ain't for me. Listen, God wants to take you to spaces and places, but let him do it. The one thing I know about the kingdom is you can't force it. There's unforced rhythms of grace, right? Isn't it what the Message Bible said? It's unforced. God can just make it happen. If you can just somehow allow him, just open yourself up. I'll tell a story. I was on my way to church 20 years at the same church, same pastor, same ministry right there in Cedartown. I'm on my way driving to church one Sunday morning. I'm going to my church. Our singers are going to sing. I'm quite comfortable. Our preacher's going to preach. Our bishop was going to preach that morning. Everything is good. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Won't you open your heart to me today?" And I was so crushed. I was crushed. I thought, "Have I really done this? He said, "I want." And I'm thinking to myself, "Well, I thought I was open, you know." And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Will you open your heart to me today? I want to do a new thing in you. I want to do something new. I want to do something fresh in you." There are seasons and times that God will just do something fresh if you'll let him. Amen? Amen? Amen. There are seasons and times. And God wants to fill you up. Amen. If you will just empty yourself of everything, if you'll create emptiness, they said, God will fill it. God always, he's really not looking for full people. He's looking for empty people. If you'll create some emptiness, God will fill it tonight. If you'll create an empty space, even maybe you say, "Well, I feel as full as I can be." Create some emptiness, and God, He can just pour out more and more. But if you'll just open yourself up to what God wants to do, the baptism in the Holy Spirit changed my life forever. I really thought once I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I went to some pastors and some friends of mine, and I said, "I don't think anybody's ever seen it like this." I said, "I'm reading. Did you know this Bible is real?" I said, "Dude, did you know that there was a man in the book of Acts that the power of God came on him and his shadow healed people?" I said, "Dude, this is real." I did not know. I was so ignorant. I did not know of the untold thousands and thousands of people who had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and God had changed their life throughout history. I had no clue. That's how clueless I really was. I said, "Man, this, I'm opening up my Bible and reading, and it makes sense. It makes sense for the first time. It makes sense." And he sends his Spirit into our heart, and we begin to cry, "Abba, Father." We begin to cry. Actually, in the South, we would say it's like crying pawpaw. For some of you, it's pop, pop. That's what it is. You can do your research on it. It's like him saying, "I sent forth my Spirit into you so that you can cry, Paw, Paw." It really means like a grandparent. It's more of a term of endearment. Like, he's my father. And he said, it is about family. You understand that? He's Abba Father, and he sends forth his Spirit so that I don't feel like an orphan. One of the biggest lies that's ever been told that hell's ever perpetrated is when he gets you alone and he makes you feel like you're orphaned. And he said, "I will not leave you like an orphan. You are not orphanos. You are never an orphan. You may feel like an orphan. You may feel like you're lost and undone. You may feel like you don't know your way. You may feel like a lot of things." But he said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I won't leave you as an orphan." Oh, man, some of you need to deal with that orphan spirit in your church. You need to deal with that orphan thing. If there's an orphan spirit in a church, oh, my gosh. But he said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless." He said, "I'm going to pour forth my Spirit so that you can cry, Abba, Father." So you can cry Daddy or Grandpa, Pop, Pop, whatever you call it. Amen? That's what God wants to do. And he wants to take you to a place you've never gone before. He wants to take you on deeper heights, deeper depths and higher heights. Amen. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just sing this with me for 1 minute? Hallelujah. Just close your eyes and worship for a minute. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I love you. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it with me. Hallelujah. 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 Or just stay right where you are and let me just mention a couple of things. You know, if your earthly father knows how to give you good gifts, talking about a father, isn't it interesting how every time I was studying for Father's Day recently, and I noticed a few times in the New Testament, every time the word father or good father was mentioned, there was a gift that followed. He said, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Isn't that what he said? I think something like that. Amen. Didn't James say that? He said there's a father that wants to give you something. Not a bad father, but a good father. And so here's what happens. Here's how this works. You just come up. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you want God to fill you with His Spirit, just come up here. And I just want you to just open your heart to what God wants to do just for a few minutes. Just for a few minutes. Give yourself, create some space and let God fill it. Maybe you need to be refilled. Maybe you haven't sensed the moving of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you haven't functioned in your gift. God wants to pour out His Spirit on a generation through you. God builds. We build with tools, and God builds with gifts. And what He does is He births a thing before He builds a thing, and He gives you the gifts to build it with. And the truth is, those of you who are sitting in here tonight, God wants to pour something in you that He can pour through you to touch a generation. And that's how it's going to work. You don't, the pressure is off of you. The pressure is off of you. He wants to do it through you. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit or just a refilling, or maybe you haven't spoken in tongues in a long time, maybe you haven't been released in your gift in a while. If you want that, I'm going to invite you to come forward. I'm going to challenge you to come and let God do something fresh in you. And if you'll do that, basically, those of you who don't know, the Holy Ghost isn't going to grab your tongue like my friend thought and make him act like his mama. The Holy Ghost isn't going to grab you and make you do something stupid or foolish. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't allow your pride to bring you to a place that you don't come up here and receive what God has for you. Because I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing like walking in this thing. There ain't nothing like walking in a place where you have a genuine day-to-day relationship with God by the power of the Spirit. It is the sweetest thing you will ever know. Amen. I'm going to open up the altars. If you want something from the Lord, I'm going to invite you to come. And I'm going to just turn it over to Pastor Lisa and see what God wants to do. If you want something fresh in your life, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you just want to talk to somebody about it, come forward and let us minister to you tonight.